From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
OBI Seafoods announced that it will not be buying salmon from the Setnet fleet in Kodiak's Alitak district. The decision does not affect the area's seine fleet. Less than 3 months before the commercial season opens, dozens of fishers are reeling from the surprise announcement. KMXT's Davis Hovey has the story.
Leadership from OBI Seafoods called individual fishers in the Alitak district, letting them know the company would not be buying salmon this summer, effectively dismantling the market on the south end of the island. Kevin Fisher is the president of the Alitak District Setnet Association, which represents almost 70 permit holders who live in the lower 48 and come up to Kodiak Island to fish in the summer. Others live at their fish camps on the southern end of the island or in Kodiak year-round. He says so far, only about half of the area's permit holders have committed to fishing this season.
I've had about five people tell me that they're planning not to fish this summer with the current situation.
OBI is the sole buyer in the area and usually provides essentials like ice, fuel, and tender services through the company's facility at Alitak. And the news that they won't provide those things comes roughly 3 months before the start of the season. The association says OBI has indicated it will consider buying Alitak setnet fish in Kodiak if the fleet is able to contract with a tender and transport their catch 120 nautical miles to town. The company's decision affects dozens of families who have setnetted in the area for decades, in many cases over multiple generations, as well as local subsistence harvesters who participate in the commercial fishing season. OBI Seafoods did not respond to KMXT's request for comment. The city of Akiak did not return KMXT's request for comment either, but Fisher has talked to several fishermen in the community. He says the impact this decision would have on Akiak is not entirely clear yet, as OBI is still deciding whether or not to allow local fishermen to purchase fuel from the Alitak support facility.
As of right now, it's my understanding that they're still going to be able to get, you know, fuel from Alitak. So I don't think that's a great huge problem this year, but I do see it going forward, depending on how much resupply they take into Alitak, whether they can have any leftover to sell.
Logistics and potential solutions to provide critical services are still being worked out between Akiak, the Alitak District Setnet Association, and OBI Seafoods for the upcoming salmon season. Fisher says if the Alitak setnetters can survive this summer, there is a silver lining for future fishing in the southern area of Kodiak Island.
You know, I think it's going to drastically change the way we produce our fish and get our fish to market. And I think that there's just going to be a lot more responsibility on the fishermen. And I think we can take on that challenge and make it happen. It's going to be a little tough to get started, you know, in a short amount of time.
The 2024 summer commercial salmon season opens on June 1st. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
There's a new partnership to monitor Kodiak Island beaches for harmful algal blooms, which spread marine toxins that cause paralytic shellfish poisoning. As KMXT's Brian Venois reports, academic, federal, and tribal entities are working to better understand which waters are most susceptible to the toxins.
Paralytic shellfish poisoning is caused by a marine toxin that's spread by harmful algal blooms. Humans can contract PSP when they eat shellfish contaminated by the toxin, which can be fatal. It's become a bigger concern in recent decades, particularly in Kodiak. Right now, any shellfish harvested around the island needs to be sent to labs to test for toxins, which is mostly done off-island. Andy Wall is the Environmental Program Supervisor for the Kodiak Area Native Association, which facilitates those tests.
You know, generally you go out with a bucket, you sacrifice 6 to 8 of those shellfish, you send them to us, we'll ship them off to Sitka, and we'll help interpret the results.
It's kind of a guessing game whether or not the places where people harvest shellfish will have low or high levels of toxins that cause PSP. But the Kodiak Area Native Association, Alaska Sea Grant, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have partnered to monitor various beaches for harmful algal blooms around Kodiak starting this year. NOAA has committed $1.5 million to pay for the testing and monitoring on land and even support some research offshore aboard the NOAA research vessel Oscar Dyson. The funding is expected to last for 5 years. David Kidwell is the director of the Competitive Research Program at NOAA's National Center for Coastal Ocean Science, which funds the research.
Alaska really is ground zero for a lot of the concerns we have around paralytic shellfish poisoning, harmful algal blooms, and that's in part due to the changing climate. We know that a lot of these species are moving further north than they used to be, but also the heavy reliance on subsistence use of those resources, the cultural significance of them, as well as just the vast shoreline.
In Kodiak, Candace Wall says some of their test locations so far include Mission Beach, South Trident Basin, as well as several spots along the island's road system.
Our staff will be going out and collecting shellfish water quality and phytoplankton data from those locations. If anybody wants to submit samples outside of those locations, that's strongly encouraged.
Wall says the whole point of the project is to test areas where shellfish are harvested. Julie Matwiyu is a Marine Advisory Program agent in Kodiak for Alaska Sea Grant. She studied PSP and harmful algal blooms for years. She says locals have known about toxins in shellfish for a long time.
It's been around for a long time. There's written records back in the 1800s. The Inuktitut culture and practices have demonstrated that the way they handle shellfish, they knew about PSP.
Matwiyu says part of the problem with paralytic shellfish poisoning is that it can be unpredictable.
You can monitor one beach and it's highly toxic and go to the next beach and it might not be.
She says the monitoring project could make HABs more predictable soon, though. Part of the hope for the partnership is to create a forecast for harmful algal blooms to predict what areas will have high levels of toxins, but that's still years away. For now, the only way to ensure safety from subsistence harvests is by testing samples. Matwiyu says she hopes to have testing on Kodiak Island soon, but that will take some time too. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
As a disclaimer, Canna's Andy Wall is related to KMXT's engineering and program director, Mike Wall.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Kodiak Sacro Herring Fishery has opened with another year of massive harvest levels. But as KMXT's Davis Hovey reports, because of continued market problems, few local fishermen are expected to participate and a large surplus of fish could be left in the water.
This year's guideline harvest level is more than 8,000 tons for Kodiak's Sacro Herring Fishery. James Jackson is an area management biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's been with the department for more than 2 decades and says this year's herring biomass is at levels he's never seen before.
Yeah, I'd say over the last 4 or 5 seasons, we've seen near record biomasses, if not record biomasses, in the Kodiak area.
Jackson says that's likely a result of limited fishing efforts and ideal environmental conditions for the region's herring. But without much of a market to sell all that herring sacro, which is the female fish's eggs, it's not economical for herring fishers to harvest the record numbers of fish available around Kodiak.
As far as I know, there won't be anybody buying.
Bruce Schockler has been fishing for herring for almost 50 years, but doesn't plan on going out for sacro this year. He describes himself as a recovering herring fisherman and says there really isn't a Kodiak sacro fishery that exists anymore. Schockler put forward a proposal to Alaska's Board of Fish during its meeting in January in the hopes of changing how the fishery is managed. He suggested changing the timing of the fishery to allow for more herring fishing in the fall season, months after the spawning phase, when the fish are meatier.
If you want investment to come in, if you want new product development come in, you want market expansion to come in, then the management needs to change to allow those fish to be harvested at various other times of their life cycle when they're worth, when they have the needed nutritional profiles for the various products that are going to be used.
Herring products range from canned fish to pickled herring or even roe on kelp, also known as kazunoko in Japan. But in Alaska, the small, fatty, and silvery fish is mainly used as bait for catching other commercial species, such as crab or Pacific cod. One of the factors preventing the food and bait fishery from being more lucrative in Kodiak is the harvest levels and the permits for fishers to participate are limited. Jackson says over 100 permits were issued in the past for Kodiak's sacro fishery, while less than 10 exist for the food and bait fishery.
The sacro fishery used to be the more lucrative of the two fisheries, and so that's why the lion's share of the guideline harvest level is set based on, you know, the sacro fishery, whereas the food and bait fisheries essentially ascribe 10% of what the sacro guideline harvest level is.
Ultimately, the Board of Fish decided not to take action on Schockler's proposal, yet he's still pushing for management changes to open up more access to the resource.
I stand by that as an example of what Alaska could do. I could go on and on and on into what we could do and what actually there are Alaska processors doing and some of the potential, but none of the potential can be realized with management like it is now.
Regardless of what management changes happen and when, fishers and the department alike hope the trend of increased herring biomass will continue in the coming years. As of Friday morning, Fish and Game's Jackson says no boats, tenders, or processors had registered with the department for the upcoming sacro fishery. He says he expects less than a quarter of this year's catch will be harvested, leaving thousands of herring stranded in the water around Kodiak again this season. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.